Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to get this done. Look, I'm humbled and honored to have President Trump's endorsement for the role again, as well as the endorsement of leaders across the conservative spectrum and the Republican Party, all of my colleagues that are standing with us, and we will get this done. Look, the things that we're talking about this morning are an illustration that we live in very serious times. We cannot afford any palace drama here. We have got to get the Congress started, which begins tomorrow, and we have to get immediately to work. We have to certify the election of President Donald J. Trump on January 6th, on Monday. And we have many important things pressing on us right now. So there's no time to waste. We have to stay unified. The American people gave us a mandate. You know, President Trump got 77 million votes. We got almost 75 million for House Republicans, the largest number ever. And they have sent us a message that they want us to begin fixing all of this.
Perfect.
Our form of our perfect union.
Heritage legal expert Hans von Spakovsky.
Hans, this is Ryan Wiggins filling in for Annie Fry. Thanks for being here on the second day of the year.
Well, Ryan, thanks for having me. And boy, it looks like we're going to have a very exciting start to the new year between the speaker's election on Friday and Monday, the certification of the new president.
Okay, I got to start with the big, everybody's asking question. Could this delay the certification of the Donald Trump's presidency being certified on Monday?
Potentially, yes. I mean, I don't think we've ever had this happen before. I know there's a lot of questions about certain members of the House who have said they potentially won't vote for Speaker Johnson. I actually think I think he's going to get elected on Friday. I actually would be shocked if he's not, because I think the few members who have voiced questions about it know that the wrath of the conservative world, I think, would descend on them if they somehow cause a delay in the certification on Monday.
So, Hans, walk us through the nuts and bolts of this thing. This is, I'm assuming, something that happens every 2 years?
It does happen every 2 years at the start of the newest congressional session. And the new congressional session is scheduled to start tomorrow, January 3rd. And at that session, they have to, all the members of the House have to elect who their new Speaker is going to be, because it's the Speaker that basically runs the House. And so keep in mind that the whole reason we have this issue come up is because, listen, Republicans will be starting this session with one of the narrowest margins in modern history, with just a couple of votes more than the Democrats. Like, it's five, although they've had several individuals. They're going to have special elections, as you know, like for Matt Gaetz down in Florida. And so with that narrow margin, it gives a small handful of individuals the ability to throw a monkey wrench into the proceedings if they want to.
So, Hans, with that in mind, what would it take for Speaker Johnson to not be elected Speaker? Or could this go a few rounds and then they make some concessions and then, you know, either way we end up with somebody by the end of the day tomorrow?
I think that is possible. Remember, the last time this happened, part of what was going on was that some of the objectors wanted to get key positions on certain committees like the Rules Committee, not because they were personally ambitious, but because they hoped, for example, the Rules Committee really lays out the agenda for the House, you know, which bills are going to be considered. And the conservatives who were working on that were hoping that would allow them to push more conservative bills to be considered by the House. So, yeah, you know, there may be negotiating going on behind the scenes to ensure a quick vote on Friday. But even if not, I actually think by the end of the day, we'll have a speaker.
Hans von Spakovsky is on the phone with a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. President Trump has been very much in support of Mike Johnson as Speaker of the House. And constitutionally speaking, that makes sense because, and you can confirm or deny this, but it seems to me that if you're the president and you have both chambers of Congress, which they do in the Senate and the House, getting the House on board is kind of a big deal for your agenda. But you, like you said, it's such a narrow majority that is this where Trump's agenda could get stalled a little bit is in the House?
Oh, yeah, because it will only take a small handful of Republicans defecting and voting with the Democrats to stop key provisions. So the Republicans are going to control the Senate. They're going to control the House, but the margin will be so narrow in the House that it may make things difficult for President Trump. That's a situation where he really is going to have to use the mandate that he received, right? Over 77 million voters, really an overwhelming victory. He has to use that as his point of pressure to try to get the House to do the kind of things he wants, one of the most important of which, as you know, is to extend the Trump tax cuts, which are about to end from his first, that he got passed in his first term.
Hans, when they pass the budget, now this is weird stuff because it feels like these are big news items, but they're happening over the Christmas holiday, so they're not getting as much scrutiny or as attention as they normally would. But when they pass that right. budget, they just kicked the can down to March, correct?
Yeah, the continuing resolution. That they simply said, we are going to continue the current funding of the government through the end of March and not pass an actual budget.
So that was just giving them, in theory, time to set things up like extending the Trump tax cuts and hopefully doing a lot of other cuts, right?
That is exactly right, yes.
Let's switch gears real quick, Hans. Let's talk about the border. Here's a clip from Tom Homan.
I got no confidence in the administration, to be honest with us and read us, and they've been lying about this from day one, lying every day from the White House podium about the border being secured. I am grateful President Trump got reelected. President Trump's going to come into office, and we're going to secure that border. We're going to run a deportation operation. We concentrate, prioritize public safety threats and national security threats. I think this country is about to get a lot safer under President Trump.
You know, Hans, polling-wise, this was one of the main issues that has propelled Trump back into the presidency. Just based on what you're hearing from Tom Homan, what is Trump going to be able to do, and I guess by extension, Tom Homan, starting day one?
Well, folks need to remember that for the 4 years of the first Trump administration, he put in a whole series of things, everything from building a wall, building secure facilities at border crossings to prevent people from coming over, to doing things like putting in the Remain in Mexico policy. That was a policy that said that if you showed up at a port of entry and claimed asylum, you had to stay in Mexico while your asylum claim was being investigated rather than being released into the country. And the reason for that was that 90% of asylum claims are fraudulent. The end result of that was, if you look at the 4 years of Trump, the number of illegals crossing the border went steadily down. The Biden administration canceled all of that. And in the first year of the Biden administration, more aliens crossed the border than in the entire 4 years of the first Trump administration. So if he simply repeats what he did during his first 4 years, we will see a major reduction in the number of aliens illegally crossing the border.
Hans von Spakovsky is on the phone with a senior legal fellow at Heritage. You know, the big argument from Biden and Harris during the campaign season, not for the first 3.5 years, but during the campaign, was that they would do something. They would love to secure the border, but Republicans and Congress, and really just Congress in general, didn't pass a bill, and so they couldn't really do anything. Does Congress need to pass a bill, spending or otherwise, for Trump to begin to fix this problem?
No. The simple answer is no. That was a lie by Joe Biden. And I'll give you a very specific example of that. He said that if that bill got passed, he would close down the border immediately with an executive order, but he couldn't do it unless that bill was passed. That was a totally false statement. The president currently has the power under federal law to shut down the border and prevent entry of any and all aliens from one country or a group of countries. So that was just a lie by the Biden administration. They very deliberately got rid of the policies that Trump had put in place in the first administration because they wanted as many illegal immigrants to come across the border as possible, because that's part of their DNA. They think that's the way we should be doing things.
Hey, Hans, this is Brad. I had a quick question. The border question got me thinking about this. HB 2 sure. In the last session is one of the first things that the Republican-led House passed, kind of went into the Senate and died. Could they revive that bill and run that through the Senate? Would that make it through the Senate this time around?
It would make it through the Senate unless Democrats try to filibuster it. I think they could. They can resubmit the bill. They could pass it in the House. They could send it over the Senate. Whether they could overcome a filibuster, I don't know the answer to that. And that means that we would get a first good test of Senator Thune as to whether he could keep his caucus together, since Republicans now have a majority. Can he keep them together to get it passed? And I don't know the answer to that. But look, that bill is needed. It would be a big help. But just reversing the current policies of the Biden administration without even any further legislation would do a lot to help solve the illegal alien population problem.
Okay, Hans, we got a couple minutes here, and Annie does this to you all the time, and now Brad's got me doing it to you. So, hypothetically, when she starts a sentence that way, I'm like, oh, okay, now I'm listening, hypothetically. But he just brought up an issue that I'm like, wow, I wonder if that's ever been done before, and you'd be the guy to know. If you have a Congress that under one president, like under President Biden, if you had what we have now, House led by Republicans, Senate led by Democrats. Let's say that Trump was coming into office and that was going to flip, where the Senate would now be led by Republicans instead, but the House would be led by Democrats. That's not the case, but let's say it was. Could the House, at the end of its term, pass a bill, send it to the Senate, and the Senate hold on and vote for it after Republicans took it over?
No, because at the end of 2 years, when the congressional session ends, all bills that haven't passed die.
Okay. See, now we know, because Brad brought that up. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if that's ever been done before. The answer is no, that's never been done before, because you can't. Hans, thank you for settling these crazy questions that we have every week here on the Annie Fry Show.
I'm always happy to do it.
Appreciate your time and happy new year. Hans von Spakovsky, senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. It's funny because a lot of these issues we've never thought of until now. You know, I'm not that one is like the top of people's minds, but there's so many constitutional questions that we've had in the last 5-6 years, probably beyond that, 8 years. And because the limits of the way everything has been set up are being tested.
What's really super exciting to me, at least, is the limits are being tested, but what we're seeing is the Constitution works.
Yeah.
You know, like I was telling you about this. I was listening to a podcast and they were kind of doing a best of, and this particular person was talking to another person who was like very hung up on the January 6th thing. Trump tried to overthrow an election. He didn't concede. But like, if you look at what happened over the last 4 years, Joe Biden was the president. Donald Trump left the White House. The constitutional process held up. Democracy wasn't threatened. It wasn't.
Right.
Because it worked the way it should work. We looked at things like OSHA, and does OSHA have the right to impose?
That's right where I was going.
Vaccine mandates.
You've got it. And part of that, a big part of this has been the Supreme Court. Because if the Supreme Court had swung left, a lot of these constitutional protections, they wouldn't have immediately died. They would have been whittled away.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw, you know, we saw these tests happen, but for the most part, right has won. The hard part is that it takes time.
Yeah.
So in the midst of an unconstitutional thing happening, like in Illinois, where they tried to pass stuff that's against the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
That's not the Second Amendment as you know it. That is the Second Amendment to the Bill of Rights, the U.S. Constitution.
Yes.
That's not just like right-wing talking points. This
right.
is the Constitution.
Right.
And they're trying to pass laws, and they have, that are unconstitutional. Well, they know that they are. But then they know that, oh, the process takes a while. So the system does work. It's just that there's a lag.
Yes. Well, I mean, you even, like, for the leftists out there that want abortion, whenever the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, what didn't happen was a nationwide ban on abortion. What did happen is we went back to the constitutional process of this is a state's issue that is solved at a state's level. And what we're seeing is that the people are making their voices heard on this topic and they're voting the way that they're voting. I may disagree with you on the way that you're voting on this topic, but you are voting on this, not nine people in robes on the Supreme Court.
Which is why it was never a law. It was a made up,
yeah, out of thin air
verdict that stood for what, almost 40 years, something like that. I don't remember the actual number that it was once Roe was overturned, but that's why it just went away. And that's why Democrats thrashed and wailed after the fact that they go, oh my gosh, how many times in the last 40 years have we had a majority that we could have passed an actual law?
You know what, though?
And they didn't.
I don't think that was an accident.
I don't either.
You can't run on it if you pass a law and fix it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is the Annie Fry Show, and hey, welcome back to work. If you are out and about today listening to us, we're back too. We've been gone for about a week, kind of hit and miss, some best subs, but we are live today here on the second day of January, getting back into the swing of things. It is 12:43, and we got Wiggins America coming up next. See how that's going to work, because Ethan's leading it, so stick around. Away with everything, let's show them.